Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
He's got through. He's got through. 35, 30.
One. Get no punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Lance Medow with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. A jam-packed show for you as we'll have two guests coming up. We'll hear from Giants defensive tackle Jay Bromley a little bit later on this hour, talk about his offseason plans. He was also in the news recently for an interaction with a professional wrestler at a local airport. So we'll find out all about that. And we'll also hear from Calgary Stampeders offensive line coach Pat Delmonico. And the reason why we are bringing him on, he coached Brett Jones, who the Giants just signed from the Canadian Football League, the newest member of their offensive line. So certainly a lot to delve into. We'll try to get to as many calls as possible throughout the program as well at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can also follow and interact with us on Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat, and you can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Medow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. So let's start off with the two news items regarding the New York Giants. Yesterday, they signed Brett Jones from the Canadian Football League, and this is going to be a player that is going to add some additional depth to the offensive line. 6'2", 315 in terms of his characteristics, and in just 2 years in the Canadian Football League, made quite an impact. He was the Rookie of the Year in 2013, and this past season, he was awarded the most outstanding offensive lineman. He's coming from an offensive line that led the CFL in rushing, allowed the fewest sacks. He played in 38 regular season games, 37 of them had him playing at the center spot. He also had one spot start at left guard. So there is some versatility that he does bring to the table. He has been tested over the last 2 years at the Canadian Football League, and he did play the equivalent of what Division I college is in Canada, because obviously he's a native of Canada, so they have a little bit different type of system in terms of college, but he was drafted right out of school to the CFL, 2 years with the Calgary Stampeders. That team actually just won the Grey Cup, the equivalent to the Super Bowl in the CFL, and later on in the program, we'll hear from his offensive line coach who worked with him over the course of 2014. We'll get a better idea of his versatility, his characteristics, and what he will bring to the table for the New York Giants. Free agency doesn't start till next month, but this is the period where NFL teams can sign CFL players. So that's why you see some movement on that front, and the Giants took advantage of those opportunities yesterday. The other news item regarding the New York Giants, and I should mention, in addition to that transaction, the Giants officially waived David Wilson. And in a related note, Terrell Thomas officially retired from the NFL today, and Terrell Thomas, obviously a key contributor to the Giants' secondary, helping them win a Super Bowl, but dealt with three ACL surgeries during the course of his career, and that clearly limited his consistency as a football player. He was able to come back with the Giants after multiple surgeries, similar to what Thomas Davis has done with the Carolina Panthers at the linebacker spot. Very few players have been able to deal with what Terrell Thomas was capable of overcoming during the course of his career. So that is important to note and important to highlight. But Terrell Thomas obviously looking ahead in life and deciding that this is it for his football career. The year he came back after multiple surgeries, he really helped stabilize that slot corner position. And the Giants battled numerous injuries at that position during the course of that season. So, you know, that was something that he added some stability to this team by coming back. And when they had drafted him, and even Tom Coughlin mentioned this in the press release that is going to be up on Giants.com, so you could read everything that members of the organization have to say about Terrell Thomas. And he mentioned when they drafted Terrell Thomas, they figured that this was going to be a corner that was going to solidify that position for years to come. Unfortunately, the injury bug did not cooperate. But he's a native of Los Angeles, California, came across the country to New York, and certainly thrived in the secondary in the years in which he was healthy. Four seasons on the field, 2008 to 2010, as well as 2013, which is the season that I had referenced a few moments ago, in which he was brought in to play that slot position and really helped the Giants get through the injury bug that plagued the team as well in 2013. Certainly very good in his tackling ability. Now, that's one thing that comes to the forefront when you talk about Terrell Thomas, as well as his cover skills. A very versatile member of the secondary and a player that was familiar in playing the safety spot too. So that's why he was such a unique individual in what he brought to the table for the Giants. So he officially retires, announcing his retirement with the Giants today. And that news is up on Giants.com if you want to read more about that. David Wilson officially waived yesterday. He had announced his retirement last season before the season even begun due to medical issues as well because of that neck injury, and the transaction that they made to bring an extra person aboard is obviously the arrival of Brent Jones, the offensive lineman from the Canadian Football League. So a few news and notes around the New York Giants over the last few days. We will be opening up the phone lines at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. In a little bit, we'll be hearing from Giants defensive tackle Jay Bromley. And as I mentioned later on in the show, Calgary Stampeders offensive line coach Pat Delmonico. So certainly a lot to get into over this next 60-minute period. Right now, I want to try to get to as many phone calls as possible because we're going to have multiple guests on the program. So let's try to get the chatter going here early on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And we start with Dennis in North Carolina. Dennis, welcome to the program. What you got? Dennis, are you there? All right, we're going to put Dennis on hold. We'll check back in with Dennis. Remember, when I call your name, make sure that you have everything else down and you're listening through the phone. Obviously, that will present feedback the other way around. All right, let's check in with Mark, and Mark is standing by on the line. Mark, what's happening?
Yeah, how you doing, Lance?
I'm doing well, Mark. What's happening with you?
I'm doing all right. Did you hear about that Terrell Thomas has retired also?
Yeah, I just actually announced that on the program.
Oh, okay, all right. Are we still on the theme of free agency and the draft by any chance?
In terms of talking about that, absolutely. I mean, if you have thoughts on that, I mean, nothing's official. Free agency doesn't start until next month, and the combine is going to get underway next week towards the latter part of the week. So obviously the Giants, like any other team, in the process of evaluating young talent and obviously monitoring all the free agents that are going to be on the market starting next month.
Yeah, I had a few names that I think the Giants should really go after, like Searcy from the Buffalo Bills, Hakeem Ayers, the linebacker, where he got traded to the New England Patriots, and Orlando Franklin. I think if we get the safety, if we get the outside linebacker, I think Hakeem Ayers can be like a blitzing outside linebacker, which we need. He's big, 6'3", 255. I think we'll be all right, plus the draft. I think we need Shelton and a guy by the name of Donovan Smith, left tackle from Penn State. He played in the Senior Bowl, and he just dominated everybody.
Well, that's one part of the evaluation. Obviously, stocks go up and down during the course of the combine and the period leading up to the draft. I'll hit on at least the positions that you touched on, because outside of that, it's really a game of pure speculation. And I brought this up on a few shows during the course of the offseason. I think safety is a very interesting position to watch this offseason, given the fact that the Giants have the most free agents at that position. So that creates somewhat of a question mark: who's coming back, who's going to return. So I would agree with you that I think that would be a position that the Giants most likely will address, whether it be through the draft or free agency, depending on who comes back and who heads out of town. In terms of the left tackle position, you know, right now the Giants have Will Beatty under contract. Could they move guys around on the offensive line? That's always a possibility. But I think that when you look at the offensive line, depth would be one area, and perhaps a guard spot, depending on what shakes up on the injury front. You have Jeff Schwartz, who is still under contract, who the Giants are hoping returns to full health. And they also dealt with a few other injuries on the opposite side. Do they move Justin Pugh around? There's been a lot of speculation on that front. So the guard spot may be one to pay more attention to, more so than necessarily left tackle.
Yeah, well, that's why I had Orlando Franklin as one of the key free agent signings. We got to sign either him or Ayupati, which I think Franklin would come a little bit cheaper. And I think he's more versatile. He plays right tackle. He can play left guard. He can play right guard. So I believe that the Giants will go after Orlando Franklin. I really do believe that. And I do believe they'll go after Searcy, because Searcy can play in the box. And then I don't think he allowed a touchdown all season. I think, and plus he's young. I think he's like 27 years old, and we always go after the young 27 and under. So I really believe that. But Donovan Smith, I'm just saying, keep that name. Keep that name in mind. Donovan Smith, left tackle from Penn State.
Right.
He looked like he was by far the best tackle at the Senior Bowl, by far.
Sounds good, Mark. Appreciate the phone call. We'll certainly be talking a great deal more about upcoming prospects, certainly next week when our attention turns towards the combine. There's a few other tackles. I don't know if the depth on the offensive line is as notable as it was perhaps last season or seasons prior, but there are a few notable offensive linemen that separate themselves from the rest of the pack. You know, one of the guys that Mark just threw out, Donovan Smith, is one to note. There's a few other players that will receive plenty of attention, but you got to remember, stocks fall, they raise, they go all across the board over the next few months, depending on what transpires at the combine, because they're going to take the measurements, they're going to have the player interviews. There's so much that is invested in that period of time, so a lot could certainly change with respect to the dialogue. Let's try to squeeze in a few more callers here before we get Jay Bromley on the line, and we check in with Dre in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? How's everything going?
Doing well, Dre. How's everything with you? What you got?
So far, so good. Hey, I'm going to make this real quick. You know, there's a lot of speculation where, you know, we do need a pass rusher, but everybody's talking about Greg Hardy. And one of the concerns I had was, you know, he's been cleared of domestic violence charges, but it still stands what Goodell is going to do in reference to the personal conduct violation. And will he be getting the mandatory first-time offender six-game suspension? And if that's the case, you know, that may help in the negotiations in reference to him being gone for the first half of first quarter of the season. And how useful would it be for us to, you know, actually go after him? You know, I hate to quote Charlie here, but I'll put him in the same position as Will Hill. You know, one of the reasons we got rid of him was, one, he's a habitual violator and he was a detriment to the team, and he wouldn't have been a factor for being gone for the first six games of the season. That doesn't help us, especially when we're trying to make a strong start and, you know, at least get to a playoff before, you know, Giants start cleaning house. I just wanted to know, you know, here, what was your take on it?
Well, number one, he's still a member of the Carolina Panthers, and I understand there's some speculation they may part ways with him, but right now he is still a member of the team, so it really is a hypothetical situation if he's even available on the market. Carolina would have to make a move on that front. As far as a suspension is concerned, that right now is up in the air as well. You know, I think the Giants would have to consider, you know, do you want to hold off a roster spot? And obviously, if a player is suspended, they'd go on the suspended list. But, you know, do you want to have somebody at least take up space in camp who you know may not be able to contribute immediately? That is something that they'd have to evaluate if it gets to that point. You look at the defensive line, and Greg Hardy would bolster that position. They have a number of young guys who they drafted over the last few years. We'll hear from one of them momentarily, that being Jay Bromley. Jonathan Hankins has really emerged. If JPP comes back, you know, that doesn't at least provide a void at the defensive end spot. A lot of people are starting to say, hey, they need this, they need that. They also have Robert Ayers. I look at this defensive line group on paper. Now, there's a number of guys that are going to be brought back who can contribute, assuming they stay healthy. So a lot of that will determine whether or not the Giants would even want to make a splash on the free agency side of things. And a guy like Greg Hardy, despite what baggage he may bring, keep in mind, Dre, you know, he does have an impressive resume that if there is a team that wants to take a chance, who knows financially what type of money you'll have to lay out to get a guy like that. All of those type of factors have to be weighed.
I agree. I appreciate that. And last question is, the offensive lineman that we just picked up from the Canadian League, does he play guard or is he a tackle?
Well, he's played center, and appreciate the phone call, Dre. He got one start at guard. He's been primarily a center. When we get the Calgary Stampeders offensive line coach on the line a little bit later on, we will certainly ask him where he sees him fitting in within the NFL. So that will certainly be a question and a topic of discussion coming up in terms of, will Brett Jones be primarily a center? Can you move him to guard? Can he be slid in a tackle? You know, that's something that obviously a guy who has worked very closely with Brett Jones over the course of his Canadian football career can answer. Let's head back to the phone lines and we check in with Chris in Bayonne. Chris, what's happening?
How you doing, Lance?
Doing well, Chris. What's happening with you?
All right. Listen, I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about offensive line and defense. First of all, the Brent Jones acquisition. My understanding and a little bit of a tape that's on the guy, he seems to have, well, first of all, he plays a yard off the defense. That's how Canada football plays. And there's going to be a big adjustment. And that could be one of the questions you can ask the offensive line coach, how these guys adjust to our league. What I've seen off film and what analysts have said about the guy, he's got good hands when he gets his hands on you. Okay, he has good hands, not real long arms, and he has good feet, and he has athletic ability. So I really think he's better than some of the backup guys we have. So that's a plus. Herman and Bruce Brewer and Mosley, I don't know. I got big question marks about these guys. I think we could do better. Your thoughts on that, and then I'll talk about defense.
Well, in terms of the offensive line, you were just alluding to Brett Jones. You look at his resume, and the Giants put his highlights up from the Canadian Football League on Giants.com, and consistently, this is a player that gets to the second level. He appears to be versatile. He appears to be mobile, which is certainly a big benefit when it comes to the offensive line. So there is a lot of excitement surrounding his name and what he could potentially bring to the table. However, there's going to be somewhat of a transition period, and Brett Jones spoke with Giants.com, and he mentioned they have the defensive linemen in the Canadian Football League who are a yard off of the line. So it's a little bit different from the NFL. The physicality is a little bit different. You know, those are going to be things he'll have to adjust during the course of OTAs and training camp. But in terms of upside, in terms of versatility, I would agree with your sentiments. I think that this is a guy that can add depth at multiple positions, which the Giants like to have. As far as the rest of the offensive line goes, you know, they dealt with their fair share of injuries last season. And if everybody comes back healthy, the depth looks a little bit better. I think that will be a position, though, they'll look to address in free agency in the draft once again. Will they look to go for a home run early in the draft? I think that depends on how much depth we see at the offensive line position. I'm hearing some mixed results. I'm hearing some guys that maybe could go in the top five picks, and then after there is somewhat of a drop-off compared to what we've seen in previous years. So perhaps they go the route of last year. Remember, Richburg was a high second-round pick. You don't necessarily have to take a starter in the first round. You can maybe get them in the second or third round.
Yeah, I think Schwartz comes back. He's a big run stopper. He's good in the he'll be very important. The defense now. I think we need linemen, and I think we need linebacker and second safety. I think Schertz may come down for offense, but I really think Sheldon and Ray may be there for us. And you guys are high on Collins, the safety from Alabama, as I am. And there's another safety, too. Aaron, I think, another safety who's good. What's your thoughts about those guys?
Well, Chris, I will get into a little bit more on the prospects coming up and appreciate the phone call. But before we continue that conversation and start to speculate about some of the intriguing prospects in this class, it's time to talk to a member of the 2014 class, specifically for the New York Giants, who was a part of a very impressive rookie class this past season. And I'm talking about Giants defensive tackle Jay Bromley. Jay, Lance Meadow here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Giants.com. Appreciate the time. How's everything?
Everything's good, Lance. I appreciate you having me.
Not a problem. Well, certainly it's good to chat with you. And we'll get to some X's and O's on the football front. But you are the talk of the town on the internet. So I want to get to what at least transpired earlier this week in terms of your interaction with professional wrestler Shawn Michaels, which has certainly circulated, as I mentioned, on social media. So walk me through what happened. You're at the airport, and you're going about your business, and you catch the eye of professional wrestler Shawn Michaels. What exactly happened right after that?
Well, what initially happened was I had to go get my bag from LaGuardia Airport because I had a lot of flight cancellations. But so I was walking by, and I seen a lot of people kind of crowd around him. And I looked down, and I said to myself, that's Shawn Michaels. But I wasn't sure. So I walked past to go get my bag, and one of the dudes ran into the room like, no, I'm not tripping. That's Shawn Michaels. So I was like, wow. So I was like, I'm not giving up this opportunity to go see Shawn Michaels and take a picture with Shawn Michaels. I mean, I'm not a wrestling fan now of the new wrestling, but what I grew up on was Shawn Michaels, D-Generation X. I grew up on Triple H. The real wrestling back in the day. So it was a great opportunity.
Triple H, X-Pac, Diesel. I'm fairly knowledgeable when it comes to those days in terms of wrestling. I'm like you. I'm an old school guy. I haven't watched it in quite some time. Let me ask you this. TMZ was there shooting Shawn Michaels. Were you aware that they were shooting a scene with Michaels? And number two, did you expect this story to blow up and become as big of a thing as it became?
No, actually, like, kind of like me just kind of seeing TMZ was kind of out of the corner of my eye. Like, I seen the camera, and he asked him a question, and he was talking to the dude with the camera, but I didn't really pay it no mind. Then I seen the TMZ sign on the camera. I just thought, you know, me just getting a picture with him was, you know, me just being a fan of, you know, what he did. I didn't think it would turn out to be anything, and it just really, you know, elevated or escalated to a whole nother life.
How much have you heard from your teammates now that this is circulating around social media and the video is a popular thing to view? I'm sure some of your teammates you've been hearing from over the last few days. Has anybody weighed in, gave their thoughts?
The most recent one was I came in to work out today at the Giants facility, and Cullen Jenkins was here. And, you know, he's one of those funny guys. He was like, I seen your video, man. I was like, man, I ain't gonna lie. I don't really know what happened. I was excited, man. That was the first time I really decided to see somebody, you know what I mean? And it just came out the way it came out.
Did you know that Shawn Michaels was a Cowboys fan when you were interacting with him?
I didn't. I had no idea. For some reason, I mean, I kind of figured he's probably from the South, you know, Texas. You know, I wasn't exactly sure. But then when I talked to him, he was like, you know, take it easy on Romo this year. I was like, I can't really do that, but I appreciate it.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know if Tom Coughlin would give you the okay to allow Tony Romo to have some flexibility next season and go through with Shawn Michaels' wishes. But it was certainly a very interesting interaction, and I'm sure it was a thrill for you. As you mentioned, you have been a wrestling fan. How long have you followed wrestling, and when did you stop becoming as passionate as you were back in the day?
I probably watched wrestling since I was probably like 8, 9, maybe, up until probably high school. And then probably when I got to college, I probably fell off of wrestling a lot. And, you know, it started to get more new. Like, probably the dude, like, John Cena's probably the last wrestler that I really liked, you know, as far as the new dudes. And he's getting, you know, aged into it. So that's probably the way it goes.
Now, let me ask you this. Were you a Shawn Michaels fan? You alluded to D-Generation X. Were you following him when he was a member of the Rockers? I don't know if you were this passionate. He teamed up with Marty Jannetty back in the day. He was a tag team partner.
Was that like ECW or something?
No, that was actually that was WWF, Jay. Yeah, that was probably real early 90s. I wasn't so sure if you were into it back then.
Yeah, real early 90s. I was just being born.
That's what I figured. So I just wanted to check with you, run that by you. Before we got into the ins and outs of the wrestling federation and so forth, anybody else on the team as into wrestling as you were?
I'm not sure yet. You know, a lot of people have been a lot of people in different places right now, as far as, you know, maybe their home states or whatever. So I haven't seen everybody, you know, I'm used to hanging out with, but I'm pretty sure there's some old school fans, especially the older dudes. They're probably used to the Stings and, you know, the Owen Harts. You know, those guys, so especially old school wrestling, the Jimmy Superfly Snookers. I'm pretty sure there's some hearts out there for wrestling.
Absolutely. Talking with Giants defensive tackle Jay Bromley here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. All right, so let's transition to some Giants football chatter. They named a new defensive coordinator since the season ended, Steve Spagnuolo, who they brought back. How much interaction, Jay, have you had with Spags since he was rehired?
Interestingly, I just met Spags Tuesday, and wow. It was interesting to meet them because actually they were in a defensive meeting, and usually I probably would never try to poke my hand into a defensive meeting with all the coaches in there just out of respect. But when I seen Coach Coughlin earlier when I was working out, he told me to go see him. And when I went upstairs, Coach Coughlin told me to go in the room when they were having a defensive meeting to go see him. And I went to see him, and he was a great guy, man. I heard a lot of great things about him, what kind of guy he was, energetic guy. And he was like, you know, I heard a lot of great things about you, too. I just hope to live up to my end of the bargain. I told him I hope to, you know, surpass my end of the bargain. So he's a great guy from what I know so far.
Mathias Kiwanuka is the only player who played under him initially under the old regime. And you just mentioned that you heard some interesting things about Spags. What in particular have you heard about him that gets you excited about this defense?
He loves D-line.
He was one of the first people to really introduce that whole 4DN, you know, try to really mix it up to get after these quarterbacks, you know, as far as I know. And that's a great thing when it comes to, you know, comes to my game. And I got to make sure you work hard in the offseason so that I can be out there on third down and show that I can get to the quarterback, man. It should be, you know, to see what type of philosophy he brings to the D-line that we let loose. I heard he likes to blitz a lot. So, you know, that changes up how, you know, defensive lines play. So it should be interesting.
Last year when the Giants brought on Ben McAdoo, obviously the offense had a transition period where they had to learn a new scheme, a new playbook. You were brought in last year under Perry Fuel system. Now it's Spag system. How much of a challenge do you think it's going to be in terms of learning some new jargon and a new scheme? How much are you maybe looking forward to that?
I'm looking forward to it, but as far as it being really difficult, I see it no different than coming in as a rookie. Because when I came in as a rookie, I had to learn everything new all over again, different scheme, and try to learn different techniques. Now, but more than anything, what I know I can focus on this year is playing the way I know how to play. You know, playing within the defense, but being myself rather than trying to do too much and think too much. That's why I got myself caught up last year thinking too much. But just allowing myself to play free. And I feel like he's a, you know, defensive line friendly guy, so hopefully he allows us to, you know, just get after it.
And you got some key experience last season, which made the 2014 rookie class, Jay, unique because most of the players made an immediate impact. And I'm not just talking about Odell Beckham, but everyone, including yourself and even the later round picks. How much pride does last year's rookie class take in the fact that all of you, for the most part, had an opportunity to make an immediate impact and really build upon that heading into next season?
It's a blessing, man, just to have the opportunity to come in with those guys, man. Like I said, Odell gets a lot of the glitz and glamour, which is deserved because he's an outstanding player. But, you know, guys like Andre Williams, Devin Kennard, Matt, you know, those guys are just awesome, you know. And I just look up to those guys so much because they come in and work day in and day out. You know, we take a lot of pride in just trying to be the future of this organization. And we're not where we want to be, but I think we're taking good steps to where we need to be.
Jonathan Hankins came to the Giants the year before you, and he played late in his rookie campaign, and last year really had a breakout campaign. And I've heard you talk about Hankins before during the course of this season about the jump he made from 2013 to 2014. You, similar, played late in your rookie campaign and now starting to transition even more into the mix heading into 2015. How much do you look at Hankins, his career path, Jay, and what may become of you later on in your career?
Motivation, strictly motivation. I love Hank, man. That's one of my closest guys on the team, and I watch his work, and I see what he did. I watch him. I watch him on film to see what he does well and just learn from him. Man, the jump he made was phenomenal. And like I said before in another interview, if my goal isn't to surpass whatever he did, he had a great year for D-tackles. Like, he should have been in, like, the Pro Bowl if you look at his numbers. Like, if my goal isn't to surpass it, man, I'm not, you know, putting enough pressure on myself. I'm not putting myself in a position to be great. I want, you know, me and him are both young. I look forward to us being a 1-2 punch here in New York. And I won't stop working until it happens.
Which makes it really exciting, as you just alluded to, because you and him building a young nucleus for the Giants in terms of the defensive line. However, there are a number of veterans in the mix as well. How much did that veteran class help you during the course of your rookie campaign? Guys like Cullen Jenkins, who you alluded to earlier in the interview, even a guy like Mike Patterson. What did you take away from them, just watching them in action during the course of this season?
I took away everything from them. Just how they prepared themselves for games, how they prepared themselves for practice, how they came in and day out and went to work and just knew what they had to do and knew their responsibilities. They taught me a lot just by asking small questions about my stance, about get-offs, about little things and little nuances of the game that, you know, that kind of sometimes just go you know, unthought of. Those guys are big helps, man. They 10-year vets. You can't coach that. You can't coach experience. Those guys are like coaches on the field really just teaching me, being a young guy, you know, what to do and what not to do. And I really appreciate that. And next year, God willing, you know, maybe they'll be back or some of them will be back to help, you know, continue to teach me and Hank, you know, some of the younger guys. But it was a great impact on my career so far.
I'm sure over the course of the next few months before OTAs begin and then training camp, you'll be working out on your own in preparation for the offseason. What are your offseason plans, Jay, in terms of what you're doing right now? And what are your ultimate goals as you get ready for OTAs?
Try to work out hard, build strength in my lower body especially, but my entire body, and just, get my weight to a weight where I feel like I'm comfortable and I'm explosive and I'm strong at the same time to play at this level. Really, it's about just fine-tuning my game and getting back to what I do well, and that, get off the ball and get in the backfield and mix it up. And really, that's the focus, get with players like Robert Ayers or maybe Hankins or Carl Jenkins, whoever I can, JPP, whoever I can get with to work with them, and then I'll do that just so I know that I can work hard and just make sure I'm learning from those guys, because everybody brings something different to the table. And if I add that little piece to my game, then it makes me that much more dynamic of a player.
Talking with Giants defensive tackle Jay Bromley, third-round pick from 2014. Kind enough to give us a few minutes here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Next week is the Combine, so the next cluster of prospects getting ready to showcase their skills to NFL scouts and executives. You went through this at this period of time last year. What did you take away from your experience at the Combine last year, Jay?
Don't overthink things, man. Sometimes you overthink. You look, if you're a draft pick or you go to the combine or whatever, sometimes you're not like a slotted first rounder. Sometimes you look at some of like the things on the internet and you get, you might get skeptical, but then sometimes it motivates you. But the combine, it's a few day event where you're not gonna get a lot of sleep. You're really just going out there to showcase everything you prepared for in the last, 2 months, ever since your season ended. But, don't put too much pressure on yourself, man, because honestly, teams really know what you got. You know what I'm saying? The film speaks louder than words, and the combine is just a show.
How nerve-wracking is it? I mean, you just mentioned you don't want to put enough pressure on yourself because you may get flustered, but for you individually, can it get overwhelming at one point between the meetings and everybody looking and watching what you're doing?
Oh, definitely. You got to go talk to almost, if not every coach, every position coach in the league. You got to sit down and talk with them. They watch the film. They know you. It's really an opportunity for them to get to know your personality, because you're not just like you're adopting your kid. You're not just adopting their abilities, you're adopting their personalities that they bring to your room and your team. And you just have to, stay level-headed and always be yourself. Don't put on the front, because, those fronts go away real fast from one person to another.
How beneficial was that process, just going through and seeing the ins and outs in terms of how the NFL operates? How helpful was that for you entering your rookie season?
It was very helpful, Just getting a chance to sit down with an organization and just, pick the mind of the defensive line coach and figure out, what kind of schemes they like to run, their knowledge of football, and them trying to pick your mind and help you figure out your knowledge of football. It really, at that point, it's more like them just, wanting to see you as a young guy and just, your love of the game and what you know about the game. And when it comes down to it, it's X's and O's, but it's who wants it, who loves to play and who wants to get better.
Jay, your story is well documented in terms of your path from high school to college, where you didn't necessarily have a great deal of scholarship offers. You had an impressive performance at a bowl game, and that opened the door for Syracuse. Going through that experience from high school to college and everything else that you went through in your younger age, knowing that the NFL is such a grind and you always have to work hard and you always have to worry about somebody else taking your spot, how much did your experience in life at a younger age, you think, prepare you for what you're now dealing with as a member of the National Football League?
As you go throughout life, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what you've been through, every level, everything that you come to, is always going to be a new, a new mountain to climb. There's going to be new things that come out of nowhere, new challenges that, wait for you. And it's no different from now in the league, where it's new challenges, whether it be with football or your family members, it's different. It's just different. But as far as my life helping me out, I don't really the reason it helped me out so much is because I take things one day at a time. Sometimes I get harped on it, but I don't think too forwardly. Like, I take things one day at a time. The only way I'm going to get better is if I go out there and get better. You know what I'm saying? If I'm not working, somebody else is working. That's how I look at it. If I'm not trying to be the best, if I'm not trying to be the best defensive tackle in the league, I'm not looking to be good enough. Because I'm not looking to just be a rotational deep tackle. Who wants to be that? I want to be one of the best. I want to be a Pro Bowler. I want to be those things. And if I don't aim for that, you know, then what's the point of playing the game? That's how I look at life. Like, don't sit there. From what I came from, why sit back and just think that my circumstances are okay? You know what I'm saying? Why think that when it can be more, as long as I decide to make it more?
Well, certainly a great mindset to have, and a lot of exciting things surrounding you as well as the Giants, a new defensive coordinator, and you entering your second season in the league. Jay, really appreciate the time, the insights, and maybe sometime next season we'll sit down, we'll watch an old WrestleMania, we'll reminisce about Shawn Michaels in the heyday. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Maybe Vince McMahon will see this, and maybe I can invite to WrestleMania.
There you go. We got to up the profile a little. All right, Jay. Listen, continued success in the offseason, and look forward to interacting with you next season.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Jay Bromley, defensive tackle for the New York Giants, kind enough to give us a few minutes. And in case you weren't aware of the wrestling references, it's all around the internet. Earlier this week, Jay Bromley, as he described, he was at LaGuardia Airport, and Shawn Michaels, who may be a familiar name to those of you who are passionate about wrestling, happened to be getting his bags at the time. TMZ Sports was interviewing him, and Jay Bromley was a big fan, so he came over. After Shawn Michaels finished the interview, Jay Bromley introduced himself as a member of the Giants. They exchanged pleasantries, and Bromley mentioned he was a big fan, and TMZ caught it on camera. It was a cute exchange. It is now circulated throughout the internet, so we figured we'd have Jay Bromley on to explain the ins and outs of what happened and obviously delve into his rookie campaign, a young building block for the Giants to look forward to having in the mix again in 2015. And it was interesting for him to note that he met Spags for the first time a few days ago, and he's excited about what Spags brings to the table. And I know hearing from fans and hearing from people associated with the Giants, everybody's really excited to have a familiar name back into the mix. And Jay Bromley echoed the same sentiments that a lot of people have echoed when you talk about what Spags brings to the table, and that being a guy who, you know, loves to get the most out of his players, likes to listen to his players, and obviously is an aggressive defensive coordinator in terms of getting to the quarterback. And Bromley certainly fits into that criteria. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can also follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We're going to reopen up the phone lines. We'll get a few fan phone calls in. Monitor the tweets as well. And as I mentioned, we hope to be hearing from Calgary Stampeders offensive line coach Pat Delmonico a little bit later on in the program to get his feedback and his thoughts on the Giants' newest addition to the offensive line, that being Brett Jones. Let's head back to lines. We check in with Dennis. Dennis, what's happening? Okay, Dennis is a man of very few words apparently this morning. Let's go to Mike in Florida. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Mike. How about yourself?
Oh, all right. Yes, I was wondering about what do you guys think about the left tackle from Iowa. I mean, that's the guy that I like, and I really like. And but I see if the Giants passed on him. We'll be making a big mistake, because that's what we actually need. That's what we really need right now.
Well, you're talking about Brandon Scherff, who obviously is an extremely notable offensive lineman. He's up there in terms of the rankings with a few other guys that were brought up by some other callers during the course of this program. It really comes down to, Mike, how high is he going to go? Remember, the Giants are not picking first, they're not picking second, they're not picking third. So, I mean, if he's off the board, it becomes a non-issue for the Giants. If he's there, like any other player, I'm sure the Giants are going to give a player like that consideration. The scouting combine is going to tell a lot where he is in terms of his dynamics and his versatility, but I have heard the same thing you have heard. There's a lot of upside. He's played in obviously a very strong conference, so that helps his cause as well, and he plays a difficult position in terms of transitioning from college to the pros, and that being the tackle spot.
And, to be honest with you, you remind me of we got to go back like almost 20 years. A guy from USC by the name of Tony Baselli. He's a very, that's what he reminds me of. Very violent, very, very versatile and everything. So if he's at, you know, if he's on the board and we pass on him, I mean, we will regret that for the rest of for like 10 years. I'll tell you that right now.
Well,
I mean,
continue. I'm listening.
Yes, I mean that's the. I mean, I really compare him to Tony Baselli, so which is like, I mean, that's like the first guy I've seen for years.
Well,
and I mean, he's a real thing.
Baselli was a great offensive lineman, so if you're putting him in that category, then obviously you have high hopes for him. But, you know, once again,
yes,
I think it really depends on, is he there when the Giants select, what they think of him, and also what position are they prioritizing? You know, that's another element of this conversation, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in, Mike, in terms of a lot
All right.
of people starting to speculate about the draft picks that are going to be out there when the Giants select. He brought up Tony Baselli, and Baselli, obviously a great offensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who played for Tom Coughlin when Tom was the head coach of the Jaguars. So there's some connections from that standpoint in terms of whether or not you'd put some of these other young guys in that same ballpark. But position, is he still there? And upside, a lot of different factors come into play when you think about who the Giants may target. And you hear the philosophy of the organization that's thrown out a lot, best available player. And they're going to continue to obviously look at it from that standpoint, as well as, you know, what the biggest need for this team right now is. So there's a lot of different factors that come into consideration when you look at who the Giants may target come the draft. We mentioned earlier in the program that the Giants signed, speaking of offensive linemen, a member of the Calgary Stampeders, Brett Jones, one of the top offensive linemen in the Canadian Football League. And we're now joined by the Calgary Stampeders offensive line coach, Pat Delmonico, who coached the newest member of the Giants, Brett Jones, during the 2014 season. Coach, Lance Meadow here on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Appreciate the time. How's everything?
Everything's doing well. We're doing well.
Well, in 2 years in the CFL, Brett Jones made quite a name for himself. Rookie of the Year in 2013, most outstanding offensive lineman this past season. You've coached him. You've seen him up close and personal. What jumps out to you about his style of play?
Just a physical football player. He does a great job of reestablishing the line of scrimmage in the run game and really holds his own in pass protection.
Your line helped Calgary lead the CFL in rushing yards, allowed the fewest sacks, and you just mentioned run blocking as well as pass protection, two important facets when it comes to any offensive lineman at any level of football. Does he have a strength out of the two, or do you really see him as a well-balanced football player?
He's a well-balanced football player. I mean, he just has a really great knack at being coachable and understanding what a defense is trying to do and maximizing his abilities. He's a really hard-nosed, tough, physical player, and he's young as hell. So he's very durable, and he's a tough player. You know, just cannot stress that enough.
Speaking of the durability that you just alluded to, hasn't really missed a game in terms of the regular season. He played primarily center over his two seasons from what I read. One game at left guard. Last season started all 20 games at center. How versatile is he, and what position do you think will ultimately be his ideal spot in the NFL?
Well, he was a guard throughout college. And he did play some guard actually for us in the middle of a game this year because we had another rookie behind him at center. So we didn't want to dual train him. We dual trained Brett. I think he can play either one of the inside positions. He is a very cerebral person, so he's a natural fit at your center because he's athletic. He's got a big lower body, so he can anchor really well. And the cerebral part of it is he can handle all your line calls, and he can handle quick changes because a lot of what a quarterback handles in the NFL – because we only have a 20-second play clock up here, our centers have to handle it. So it's something that he'll be able to handle what the stresses of it from a mental perspective at center.
Talking with Calgary Stampeders offensive line coach Pat Delmonico, who coached Brett Jones, who the Giants just signed from the Canadian Football League. Coach, how unique is that? Because you just mentioned he's a very young player. He played 4 years of college and made quite an impact in the CFL. But how unique is that to be so cerebral with limited professional experience?
It just goes to the way the kid is. I mean, he was going to be a doctor coming out of college. He's very similar to David Deal, who had been there for a while. David Deal was, because I was actually at the University of Illinois and overlapped David with 1 year. He was graduated next a year early, was in a master's program. Very smart kid, just like a David Deal type guy. So, I mean, he's somebody who just can understand it and is a sponge. He absorbs it all.
Well, I'm glad you brought up David Deal, because the fans listening certainly will be very happy with that comparison, considering what Deal brought to this organization. What's going to be Brett Jones' biggest challenge from the CFL to the NFL?
I think it's the adjustment of the yard off. I think center up here is the only position that's different than down in the States, because the guards down in the States are sitting back farther off the line of scrimmage than they used to be. So they are actually creating what's close to a yard, whereas the centers down there, if they got a nose on them, that guy's on top of them. So I think he'll have to make that adjustment. I think he'll adjust to that pretty quickly. Really, I think that's really the only thing that he's going to have to work at. And then under center snapping. That's something that we probably do 2% of the time up here, where that's not going to be the case down there. We're predominantly shotgun. We're under center in a limited role up here, whereas obviously under center is going to be a lot more down there. So I think that will come with time.
Eli Manning, not known as a mobile quarterback, it goes without saying. I'm not that familiar with your quarterback up in Calgary, but how has the interaction been between him at center and your quarterback, and how will that help with him working with a guy like Eli Manning?
He's a kid that, again, the quarterbacks are going to love him, because he's going to understand the protection scheme and understand where the problems can occur. And that's all you want. I think that's what any other quarterback wants. We don't ask Bo to run around. Our quarterback up here, Bo Levi Mitchell, can run around, but we don't ask him to do it, because, like anything else, it's an 18-game season here for us, and we can't lose our number one. They're used to having to protect a guy that's going to be in the pocket.
Talking with Calgary Stampeders offensive line coach Pat Delmonico, kind enough to give us a few minutes. Coach Brett Jones in the CFL last season, who now just signed with the New York Giants. You look at the laundry list of players that transitioned from the CFL to the NFL, coach, and it's most notably quarterbacks, receivers. You don't see too many offensive linemen. Now, why do you think that is the case when it comes to players moving from the CFL to the NFL? And is it fair to say maybe offensive line is the toughest position to adjust to?
I don't have an accurate answer to that, to be honest with you. I think it's just the more guys that are having success transitioning from CFL to the NFL is sparking more interest. I think when a guy like a Brendan Browner, who was playing here in the CFL, is having success in the NFL, it's going to spark somebody else's interest to come up. A Cam Wake. There was a kid with Philly, the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman, both of those two guys who had some success down there. So I think it's not position specific. I think it's just an overall, hey, there's some talented players, and we need to go and see if we can grab some.
And it does help put the CFL on the map. And with that being said, coach, with news that Jones has signed with the Giants, what does that mean for you personally as his position coach, as well as the Calgary organization?
Well, we drafted another kid behind him that I was referencing before, a kid by the name of Pierre Labrecque, for this scenario, because we did think that Brett may have this opportunity. So we did prepare that. So we're going to go rookie again. you just get younger. It's the nature of pro sports with free agency, because, you know, we've actually lost another guy as well to free agency. So we're just going to get a little bit younger, and we'll work through it.
You mentioned your connection to David Deal. There's also a connection between Calgary and the New York Giants, is John Huffnagel, former offensive coordinator here for Big Blue from 2004 to 2006. Now the head coach and general manager of your team, the Stampeders. Being around someone like that with that type of experience, how much do you think that has helped Brett Jones?
I think it's excellent. I think he was able to just speak to him about the process of what to anticipate and help him to get a realistic look of what is going to occur. Not so much the X's and O's and all that stuff, is how they're going to approach this process and signing you as a free agent, what to expect from them, and what you need to be prepared for. I think Brett is well prepared for that, and I think that's important.
Now, I was reading that you played 4 years at Albany. I'm curious, with all of these connections, the Giants used to have training camp up in Albany. Did you cross paths with Big Blue at any time while you played there?
No. In terms of a player, no, but we used to work it because we used to work the camp all the time. We start. It was my last 2 years were with Coughlin, and my first two were with, I can't think of the head coach before him.
Jim Fossil.
So it was about a 4 year run there where we used to participate and kind of help them out with whatever they needed while they were there.
Very nice. Well, it's nice to see so many different connections. Now, before I let you go, I know this is a pretty hectic time in your schedule, so I appreciate the time. How crazy has free agency been thus far in the Canadian Football League?
It's like you can imagine. The teams that need some help are offering some really great contracts, and it's great for the players that they're able to start making more and more money. It stinks for someone like us who lost Brett to an opportunity to go to the NFL, and we also lost our starting left tackle to, you know, a bigger salary opportunity at another team. So it's a little hectic for us, but we'll work through it.
Well, as you mentioned, you'll be looking forward to developing some of the young guys, given that you're the offensive line coach. Pat Delmonico, Calgary Stampeders offensive line coach, Coach Brett Jones, who is now the newest member of the New York Giants. Coach, really appreciate the time and the insights, and best of luck for your team in the upcoming season.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Appreciate the time. Pat Delmonico, kind enough to give us a few minutes. And as you heard, versatility that Brett Jones brings to the table. He mentioned he's played center, he's played guard. And I like the fact that he mentioned that they utilized him to back up other guys at other spots. And if you look at how the Giants utilize their offensive lineman, Weston Richburg, using him, I think, is the perfect example, brought him in. And he had played center in college at Colorado State. However, got him prepared to also play guard, if you recall, during the course of training camp. Brett Jones, I think, has that similar mold from what Pat Delmonico just said, where you can have him at center. At the same time, you can groom him to be a backup guard because he's a cerebral-minded guy. And if you look at the amount of offensive linemen that the Giants have brought in and the specific criteria of those players, they are in the process of transitioning from the old regime, the David Deals, the Chris Snees, the Sean O'Haras. You know, the one common element, the common theme between all of them was the fact that very smart-minded football players. And it goes without saying that you need that on the offensive line, but you know, Brett Jones seems to fit that mold. So there is certainly a lot of excitement surrounding his name, and it was great to hear from the guy who has groomed him over the last season. If you want to get into some of the things that Pat Delmonico said about Brett Jones, feel free to give us a call. We'll close out the program with your calls, with your tweets at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And let's head back to the phone lines as we welcome into the conversation AJ in South Carolina. AJ, what's happening?
Good afternoon, Lance.
Good afternoon to you, AJ.
That was a good interview.
Appreciate that. It was good to have him on. So what do you got?
Brett Jones played both experience at both guard spot.
You're talking about Brett Jones?
Yes.
Well, as the coach mentioned, he's had experience at guard and center. He started more games at center, AJ, but he had worked at guard during the course of practice, and they talked about how they didn't want to transition another player to the center spot. So Brett Jones obviously served as the backup guard, too, because he was familiar with the language. So I would say center and guard are the two positions to focus in on.
And my last question is, Terrell Thomas retirement, I think the Giants should, sign a one-day contract. You know, talking about the Giants.
Well, that normally happens with respect to players. I'll be honest with you. I'm not exactly sure, and I don't want to go on the record and say the wrong information. And AJ, appreciate the phone call. I didn't see anything specifically in the press release, but there may be a chance that Terrell Thomas does retire as a Giant. Let's face it. He's spent his entire career with the New York Giants. So whether or not it's symbolic or it's just based on his career resume, Terrell Thomas is always going to be a Giant. And he even mentioned that during the course of this press release that I looked over right before I came on. It's the common phrase that every Giant mentions, whether they are currently with the team, whether they're playing elsewhere. Once a Giant, always a Giant. You hear management say it. You hear the coaching staff say it. You see the players say it. And it's not just coincidental that everybody says it. It's something that's preached within this organization. So I think Terrell Thomas, it goes without saying, whether or not the specifics in a written document say it, he's going down as a Giant. Bottom line, his impact in the NFL came solely with the New York Giants. Let's head back to the phone lines and we check in with Mike in Arizona. Mike, what's happening?
How you doing? My name is Mike. I'm a first-time caller.
Appreciate that, Mike. What's happening?
I just have a couple of questions about JPP and Antrell Roll. I just want to know if you heard anything about them signing them, or if not, are they going to sign other guys? Or do you know what's happening with that?
Well, they're both free agents. The Giants are obviously going to explore their options. Antrell Roll, I know, has been on a few media outlets, and he even said it right before he wrapped up the regular season here with the Giants. He's been vocal that he wants to return. JPP's also been vocal. And John Mara, I continue to echo what he said at his postseason press conference, that the Giants are interested in having both of those players back. It has to come, though, at the right price because of the salary cap restrictions. So I'm sure that they'll continue to speak both sides once free agency starts up. But in terms of a definitive, there's not going to be any definitives because free agency doesn't get going until next month. So you're rarely going to see any specifics or any contracts hammered out until we get towards next month.
Right. And if they don't happen to sign JPP or one of those Antrell Roll, do they have anybody in mind that, you know, maybe can come in and, you know, fill their shoes? Because JPP, you know, I know he had that one great year, but he still had 12 sacks last year. Isn't that correct?
He finished up with double-digit sacks, correct, for the first time in a few years because he was finally healthy and he was out on the field. He did have a very impressive finish to last season. A lot of his sacks came during the late stretch of the year. But you have to keep in mind, you can't just evaluate a player, specifically at that position, keep in mind, Mike, based on his sacks. You know, quarterback hits. JPP is very good against the run, which I don't think he gets enough credit for. A lot of people talk about how effective Justin Tuck was at stopping the run. JPP is also very good at stopping the run, and you need defensive linemen who are going to be able to stop the run as effectively as getting to the quarterback.
Because I know they got Spagnuolo back, but he's going to need pieces, you know.
Well, if you look at Spags's first regime here, he had a number of pass rushers. You look on paper, though, in fairness, Mike, Robert Ayers is a guy that could get to the quarterback. JPP's a guy that could get to the quarterback. Jonathan Hankins was a defensive tackle this year that was up there in sacks for players at his position. You know, they have depth at that defensive line spot. The key is keeping guys healthy and keeping this group together. And the salary cap always presents challenges in that department because it's very difficult, not just for the Giants, for any team, to retain everybody because there's a lot of turnover in the NFL simply because of the finances that go into it.
Yeah, and I heard something about also Eli that his if I'm mistaken, that his agent said there's going to be no hometown discounts. Am I wrong on that? Because I have Giants.com and I saw that.
Well, the Giants have not said anything publicly about Eli Manning's contract. So whatever you may have read or heard would have been from an outside media outlet. I have not heard anything specifically. The Giants obviously do not publicly comment on any negotiations that may or may not be happening behind closed doors. Eli Manning has 1 year left on his contract. So it makes sense, obviously, if they're looking to lock him up, this would probably be the time to do that. I can refer to is speculation just connected to another team, has nothing to do with the Giants. There was a story recently that the Steelers, because Ben Roethlisberger, who came in a similar draft class, is in the same boat as Eli Manning. He's entering the final year of his contract, and the Steelers had mentioned that they are looking to discuss a contract extension. I'm only bringing him up because of the similarity to Eli's contract in the time period.
Right.
But as far as Eli's concerned, Mike, nothing publicly has been said whatsoever in terms of any negotiations going on.
Because I know Eli is very flexible when it comes to that. He's a good guy. You know, he's a team person. I've always seen that about Eli, that he's willing to do what it takes to get other players in so they can make the team better. And if you had to say right now, what would you say the Giants' biggest need is right now?
Well, I threw this out early in the program, and Mike, good hearing from you. Appreciate the phone call, and we always invite first-time callers to interact with us here on the program, so certainly thankful for that. In terms of need, and I'm just going based on free agency, as I mentioned time and time again, the safety position is the position where there's the most free agents. And when you have free agents at that position, there's the possibility that there could be some turnover at that position. Very well said, everybody could come back. So it's only a game of speculation. But if you were to ask me specifically what position could be an area of need, I'm only going based on free agency. If there are players that present voids because they leave or they go elsewhere, safety would be the spot. Three of the four safeties are free agents for the Giants. Plus, Cooper Taylor was on IR last season, so you have the injury question connected to him, and Nat Burhey they drafted, who's a young up-and-coming prospect out of San Diego State. So there's some youth, there's some veterans, but obviously there's a number of free agents. That's why I would pinpoint the safety spot. I know we get a lot of calls, we get a lot of tweets on the Giants should go after this player, they should go after that player, and I can't harp enough on look at a position and see do you have depth there. So when you ask me the position of greatest need, I'd have to go just based on the semantics of who's a free agent, who's not a free agent. The safety position has a number of free agents compared to any other position. So that would certainly be a spot to watch in the coming months as free agency gets underway. Want to thank defensive tackle Jay Bromley for calling in and joining us here on the program. Some good stuff. Had some fun with respect to his interaction with Shawn Michaels at the airport. And also special thanks to Pat Delmonico, the offensive line coach of the Calgary Stampeders. It's a very busy time with free agency in the CFL. Was kind enough to come on and talk about what Brett Jones will bring to the Giants. Hope everybody enjoyed his insight, because it's very tough to get that type of insight from a guy that has seen him each and every day during the course of practice. I know we didn't have an opportunity to get to a lot of tweets. I will look over your tweets after the program, trying to interact with you off the air. Appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate all the tweets. Big Blue Kickoff Live is with you each and every weekday here on Giants.com at noon Eastern, where we take your phone calls. We take your tweets. Next week, we're going to have special coverage from the Combine, so stay tuned for that. The Combine gets going on February 17th. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Stay locked to Giants.com for the latest. I'm Lance Meadow. Have a good one.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
What an end zone punt. Intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!